People, I believe, come to this place in their life where they come to this realization that they need Jesus Christ in their life. They want that salvation and they take a hold of it. And then they kind of feel like they've arrived to the place and they have that salvation. They come to that place then and they just, they don't do anything with it. They don't do anything about it. And so they kind of stay stuck in that spot, can be stuck in that spot for a long time. Peter, when he teaches in First and Second Peter, sometimes Peter can be one of the hard ones to listen to, because he really puts it out in Second Peter there, or First Peter chapter one. He really tells people, you need to be holy and you need to live holy, because we serve a holy God. And the people are like, oh, I don't want to deal with chapter one, because it does draw some things out. But today we're going to be in First Peter chapter 2. We're going to be there today. We're going to look at some things here. Some of the things that you have as believers, what we are called and what we have and what we're called out, the things that we're that's called out of our lives. And listen, you should be a stronger Christian today than you were last year. And every year we have this something called New Year's, and we have these resolutions and things. And if you know, there's always to lose weight, to get in shape and all those things, to eat less sugar, all those kind of things like this, to get this, finish this up in the house, whatever it may be. But I think there's an ongoing call for us to continue to be better as believers. We ought to be growing up in our walk with Jesus. And so we're going to tackle that this morning, because we need to quit spitting in the mud and staying in the same spot. And so here we find ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're getting ready to hear what Peter continues to say through this letter to the people. But as we go, I just want to pray. Father, Lord, open our hearts, Lord, that we may receive your word today through our hearts and through our minds and our spirit, that we may take what it is that you give to us individually and as a church. We take it, we grasp it, and we hold it, and we do whatever you call us to do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So we see Peter reaching right here and speaking right out of number one, verse one. He says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Now, some of us would say, you know, and you grow up and you hear that, you know, all sin is the same before God. That's not true. When we do commit sin, it is a sin before God. But some sins, as we see, even in the book of Leviticus, consequences to the sins and the cost of those sins can be different. And even for us, if you go out and you steal a pack of gum from a grocery store, you may be arrested. But you go out and try to rob a bank and you just committed a federal crime and you're going to federal prison. And God sees some of those. So it is all sin, but there are some that are just big and heavy. Here we've come out with a few of those right out the gate here. Malice. Malice is this, it's almost cleansing ourselves from all this heavy stuff. Malice is just when someone goes out and they just intent on doing evil. That needs to be done as a believer. We don't go out and do that. We all know that. We don't go out and do malice. We don't become that person in malice where we just go out and we just do bad things and evil on purpose. And deceit. He also tells us that we need to rid ourselves from deceit, misleading someone, lying, those kind of things like that, hiding something. Hypocrisy. It is basically, I tell you how to live, and I'm doing something completely different. So I'm kind of, it's kind of like he doesn't live out what he preaches. So we got to get rid of that. That's got to be out. And I think for most of us, it is out. The envy. We got to get the envy out. That's a tough one. Envy out is basically just wanting something what someone else has, and you resent the idea that they have what they have, but you want what they have. And that's what envy is, and we struggle with that. And sometimes we think we're done with envy, but then something comes up and we're envious of it. Good example is when your kid don't make the team, but your neighbor's kid does. Because we all want to say that our kids are the best, right? And so we struggle with that, but we become envious. We can become envious of even parents. We can become envious of even other kids because of whatever it may be. But the Bible tells us here that we need to get rid of that envy. And there's no room in there. There's no room in our life for that. And also slander is when we talk and we speak about someone and the intentions that we are pretty much messing and kind of destroying their reputation. We're slandering them And we have to not, we, he is telling us not to do that. We got to get rid of those big things. We got to get rid of those things. Slander is not a good thing. And so when we can get rid of these, he talks about get rid of these because he's going to open up the door on some really good stuff. But he said, we are not called to this kind of lifestyle. We're called out of this kind of lifestyle. And there's so many more, but he mentions these here. And we're supposed to be getting rid of those as we come to Christ and get a new life in Christ. And when we come to Christ and we step away from the old and we get the new, then we leave that old stuff behind. We're supposed to leave that old stuff behind. And when we do one, when we do commit a sin and we battle these things, because sometimes we have a thought pattern. Our thoughts do. We do have thoughts that are sinful, and we have those, and we got to battle those. We got to battle those. That's fighting that spiritual warfare. We got to battle those as believers because we struggle with life sometimes. But we are called to step away from this kind of lifestyle. And he moves into verse 2. Verse 2, he says, now, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. Wow. Like newborn infants, desire pure milk of the word. It is of the word. Yep, it is of the word. So all believers should have a desire to read God's word. That's this right here. That's this right here. Now you're going to hear it today because I'm reading from it today. I'm reading from it today. But we need to really be looking at that in our walk. Because he says, so that you may grow up into your salvation. We got to grow up in our salvation, guy. We have to grow up. We have to grow up. This church is not, it moves forward, but it's not growing up. We have to grow up in the ways of the Lord. We have to walk. We have to do that. And so we have to grow up. And how do you grow up? It's not about always doing things. It's about reading the Word. Reading the Word is a very important piece for a believer. And you can't just let me be the one that's reading you your weekly verses of the week. You need to be in the Word. You need to be reading the Scriptures because it's in those Scriptures where you learn more about who God is. People ask me questions, and sometimes my answer is like, go back and go read the Word. You're asking me questions, and I don't have all the answers, but I'm telling you, the Bible has a lot of answers. It has the answers, and sometimes it's a journey, and God wants you to take a journey with Him, and He's not going to give you all the answers in one day. Just because you ask. It is a journey and a walk through life with the Word. So when we read God's Word, we end up learning about who God is. We learn about the history of the Bible. We learn about the who and who's done what. We learn about kings and all these things throughout the Bible, God's ways and those kind of things. We learn about how God wants us to live. And we learn how to make decisions. I don't understand why we as Christians make so many bad decisions in our personal lives. We make some horrible decisions. I mean some life-crushing decisions. Why get in the car, and you're a Christian, why get in the car or a truck and drink and then go out and drive and then you get pulled over and wonder, why in the world, God, and then you go, where was God in this? And it happens. Happens all the time. But we're supposed to get rid of that stuff, and if you want to play on both sides of the track, I'm telling you, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Not some of us can stand here and say, as a believer, trying to tiptoe back over, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because God will discipline those whom He loves. And He loves you. You're part of His family now once you come to Christ. But in the Bible, God will show you how to live your life, how to make decisions. It teaches you about how to pray. People always say, well, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray. Read your Bible. You'll see all kinds of prayers through the whole Bible. There's not an exact way to pray, but there's a lot of ways that we can see pray. It also gives us life examples of people who screwed up their lives. It also gives us a life examples of people who lived great before the Lord. It shows us people that were not living for God, who turned and gave their lives to Christ. We see all kinds of things in the Bible. And all these examples that are written are for us to learn from. They're us to build off of and learn from. At their cost, we're learning. It's there and available for you to learn. It's at their cost. Would you want your life to be in the Bible? Would you want your dark things to be in the Bible? No, I wouldn't either, but I'm thankful for that God has allowed some people's lives to be put in the Bible that we might learn, even off the bad stuff and the good stuff. But it also teaches me about what real hope is. Not what the world says hope is, but what the Bible says hope is. It also teaches me about what love is. Not what the world is saying what love is, but the way that God expresses and loves on that. How we're supposed to love our enemies. And it also shows us about mercy, that the church should have mercy and should have compassion for people, for believers and non-believers. The Bible is filled with these things. And it tells me about eternal things. I have an interest in eternal things, and I hope you do too. I have an interest in what happens to me, what happens to people that I know that have Christ in their life. And I have an interest to know what happens to me when I die. And I hope that you do too. And I know that the Bible tells me what happens to me as a believer when I die. Also a believer as what happens to me in my life. And it tells me, the Bible tells me that once I come to Christ, my life is not my own anymore. It's not my own anymore. But we want to hang on to it like it is our own. It's not your own. He gave his life for you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And listen to, it is not life more abundantly in the ways of the world. It is in the ways of God. And so we are called to be these believers. He's called us to get rid of some stuff, but also get to this place where we are learning from God and we are growing up in our walk with Christ. We're growing up. It says, so that you may grow up in your salvation. It's time for us to grow up in our salvation. It's time for us to grow up in our salvation. We should be, as I always say, we should be a much stronger and better Christian today than we were last year. We should be. And as he moves down to verse 4, he says this, and as you come to him and as you come to him, that's Jesus, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves, as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to other spiritual sacrifices, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here we find out now, I am struggling with this, aren't I? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So as you come to him, that is Jesus Christ. We know that we are to come to him. We just are. And when we come to him, as we draw closer, any of you know that has spent intimate time with Jesus knows when you draw closer, your junk, your sin comes up. It just does. He's going to deal with it before you get a chance to really get down. And he's going to tell you something. He's going to want to deal with that stuff. And as you come to him, he is a living stone. Here's what is weird. He says it is rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God. Saying that people rejected him, but he is honored by God. He is accepted by God being the sacrifice. But he says, you yourselves as living stones. We are called to be living stones. We're called to be living stones. Allowed to be living, called living stones, a spiritual house. Our spiritual house. We are part of his spiritual house. We are part of that. We are part of the family of God. We're engrafted. We are the family of God, are being built to be a holy priesthood. Heard that through one of the songs. We're a holy priesthood. I don't think we understand that. Listen, when you start throwing the word holy in, we all want to back off. Because holy, it just reveals things. And so we are called a holy priesthood. Now I want to ask you a question. And your own self. Do you act like that? Do we act like that? And that's why he was talking about in the beginning. You got to get rid of all this envy stuff. You got to get rid of all this deceit. That's what he's saying. You got to crave God's word. You got to crave God's word like a baby does milk. An infant wants that milk. You got to crave the word of God so that you can understand and know really what it means to be a holy priesthood. I wish we understood really what salvation really is. Where we are called. Where we have been set aside. We are children of God, but a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. What is that? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That means God will accept it, but he's only going to accept it, your offer, through Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because that's what the Word just said. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you come up here and you sing a song and you don't do it for Christ, you're just singing a song. If you come in on Sunday morning to do something and Jesus isn't even a part of it as a believer, sometimes we just attending. We need to remember that we're part of a priesthood. We're living stones. And we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, we don't do the sacrifices that they did back in the day. We don't put an ox out on an altar. And all, we don't go out and take lambs and sheep and goats and all that and offer up all that, those animal sacrifices. No, we do something that's different. So we're to offer these sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. One of those spiritual sacrifices is prayer. Prayer. When you pray, you pray. Prayers are harder than you think they are. I think some of us think we just did. Listen, when you really want to go to the Lord in prayer, sometimes when you go to the Lord in prayer, sometimes when you want to go, just you, I mean, you really intend to want to pray, you don't even know how to pray. Because it's difficult to stand before the Holy God and pray, but we're part of that priesthood, so we got to work it out. We got to push through it. I'm going to pray today. I'm going to pray for things. I'm going to pray for other people. I'm going to pray today, and that's going to be part of my sacrifice. I'm going to pray. My prayers are going to be sacrificed, part of my sacrifice offerings today. Also, my talents. I'm also at, so what it is everything that's a part of your life is you're just turning it back and giving back to God that He's already given you. Who cares if you won 20, if you have 10 gold albums? Who cares, right? Who cares if it doesn't exemplify the Lord, right? Who cares if you wrote 12? Who cares if you wrote 3 books and you got great awards for writing books that you sold over 100,000 copies for? Who cares if it doesn't exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ? Who cares? Because I'm going to just tell you, let me give you a reality. The world's going to forget you when you go. The only people that's going to remember you is the kids you have for a moment, then your grandkids, and after that, you're going to be written down in some obituary. You're going to be in some family tree. Everybody know this guy? No, don't know that cat. Don't know him. Don't know him. You got to find somebody that's old that knows him, tell you a little bit about him, half the stuff. Everybody forgot. But God remembers everything. And these sacrifices, they go on into eternal life. And you need to quit saying, people need to quit saying, I don't care about eternal things. You need to start caring about eternal things because this is very, very short. This is very, very short. This is a very, very small time in a moment of a person's life, what we're living right here. This is why we need to understand that this is a part of sacrifices that we offer. Also, the will. I'm sacrificing my will as an offering to God. I don't care about my will anymore. That's a tough one. I don't care about my will anymore, but I'm going to do the will. I'm going to do the will of God that He has set forth for me in my life. I want to tell you, when you start turning that will and start pushing will toward God and away from yourself, you're going to start seeing God do things in your life you never even knew could even happen. And you're going to start seeing God. You're going to start seeing things happen in your life. You're going to be one of the people that people go, why is God always blessing that person? Why is God always answering their prayers? Why is this guy always seems like everything is going great for him? When you give your will to God, I'm telling you, you give your will and you push it back to God. I'm telling you what, that is an awesome offer of sacrifice. Another one of those sacrifices is your bodies. Our bodies, we give our bodies back to the Lord. We give our bodies back to the Lord. I ain't living with nobody. I'm going to honor God with my mind, body, and soul. I'm going to honor God with my body. He gave His body for me. I'm a living stone. He was a living sacrifice. I'm giving it back to Him that He saved me. My body belongs to Him anyway. I'm going to offer my body back. Also, another thing that we can offer God is time. Time. We're all expected and called to be at worship. We're all expected to do the thing on the Sabbath and worship God because He is worthy. He is God. He calls us to take that Sabbath and make it holy. and to separate that, to worship God and to do those things. But also we can give time. I push time toward Him. You push time toward Him. You give Him more time. And however that works out in your life, you find ways to give Him more time and you push time to Him. I'm telling you, the more you push and offer to Him, I'm telling you, you can't help it. He can't help Himself. He just loves to keep blessing. Some of us are like, where's the blessings of God? They're there. But time is the big one. Also, praises. We are to offer our praises to God as well. We're to offer those praises. Push our praises toward Him. Not toward the people of the world, but push our praises toward Him because He is worthy of praise. We see that all through the Psalms. He is worthy of praise. God, as Jesus, is worthy of praise. Also, our resources. We can push our resources right to God. We do that, and He blesses, and He'll use those, and then we do that. So God accepts all of that. God will accept all those things I talked about and more, but He will only accept them because as much as you want to do it, He'll only accept them through Jesus Christ, which means you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to do the spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. And this is where I'm talking about growing up in the Lord. These things are tough things, but here it is. God doesn't always, sometimes I think we think that God just wants us to do easy things. No, God wants us to do some really hard stuff. He wants us to do some hard stuff. And it takes time, it takes resources, it takes a lot of things. It takes us to get off of our will into His will. He wants to do some hard stuff. Now to Him it's not hard. But to us, it's hard. And you know what makes it hard? It's not that it's hard. Really, it's just that it's hard for us to let Him do it. To be a part of it. To turn our lives over to Him and allow Him to do all that He wants to do in our lives. That's what He wants to do. We are a holy priesthood. That's what we are. We are living stones. You can't get these titles on your own. And we're being built. And we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. And then he says in verse 6, I want to add a few verses here. He says, for it stands in Scripture. He's going back to Scripture. And this is what we just talked about, Scripture. He says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone. That'd be Jesus. And the one who believes in Him will never be put to shame. There's a promise. God loves. God's made a lot of promises in Scripture, and He keeps them all. And so here it is. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is honored. He is lifted up. And the one who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Amen to that. So honor will come to you who believe. But for the unbelieving, the unbelievers, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has come or has become the cornerstone and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. And we know that the Jews were struggling there and they didn't like this. They didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but Jesus is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. And so this is why they stumble over it. But they say they stumble because they disobeyed the word. They were destined for this. But verse 9 says this, but you are a chosen race, he's talking to his people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession. That's what we are. That's what we are. Israel is a holy nation, but I want to tell you, it is even bigger than that. The ones that come, Jesus comes so that all might come to Christ. He died so that all might come to Him. And we are part of all that. We've been engrafted into that. And then listen, it is the believer who receives these things. But he says this, so that you may proclaim the praises. Now, it goes on, it says, of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God called us. That means He pricked your heart. Old Scripture said that He pricked your heart. He touched you. He moved. He drawing you. He's saying, today is the day for you to come to Me. Today is the day for you to get your life right. Today is the day for your salvation. And He moves and He touches. And many people receive it and they move forward. But also many people say, I see it, but I don't want it. And they push Him away. And so many people are pushing Him away still today. But also a lot of people today are taking it in and taking him and receiving him. But we never need to forget that we were also pulled out of darkness. We were all pulled out of darkness that know Christ. We were all pulled out of darkness. But we're not to stay in darkness. We're to grow up in our salvation. Get rid of those things on that list. Get rid of other things. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we have overcome and we have defeated all sin. No, we cannot, not on this side of heaven. We're going to struggle with sin. We're going to have thoughts and temptations, and we're going to fail in some of those. But we have Jesus Christ that we can come and we can confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And we're forgiven only because of what Jesus did on the cross. We've taken and received it, and God receives that and accepts that sacrifice that Jesus gave for us to be forgiven. And we stand there as a priesthood, and we're walking in our lives, and we need to remember that we came out of darkness, but we don't stay there. That we are now in the light. That we understand that the light is Christ, the light is God, that everything that we do comes under the full illumination of the light, that God sees everything. So when we think about doing something wrong, we think about, oh, we don't want to offend God. We don't need to do that. That's the Holy Spirit convicts us, tells us not to do these things. But then He also says, once you were not a people, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not a people, you were lost. But once you come to Christ, now you're part of God's people. So we need to act like God's people. We know how to act like non-believers. We know how to act like sinners are lost from God. We know how to do that. We all know how to do that. But we also need to learn how to live in the light and be God's people. Be God's people. Be God's people. Be God's people. Police officers put on a uniform every day to go to work. They're called to uphold the law, and they're called, when you see the uniform, it's not even really seeing the person, you're seeing the uniform, and we're called to respect that person in the position that they have. We as Christians are the same way. They are called to see us, the world is called to see us as people that do, as in their own words, would be something like, oh, those people do good. Those people, they don't live like we do. They don't do the things that we do. And they are curious, and they want to know why you do that. And it gives you opportunity to share the gospel and to share what you have with them. We need to remember that we come out of darkness and to continue to love those people who are in darkness, and we might reach out and share the gospel, but we also remember that we are separate. We are not in the darkness anymore. We are God's people. We need to act like God's people. And He says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Here it goes. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Every one of you that is a believer today, look at me right now. You have all received mercy from God. Every one of you. You can't, I don't know what I've received from God lately. You can say this, because I'm a believer, I have received mercy. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible just told me that. See where I'm going to keep going? I'm going to keep going back to the Word. Why? Because we're reading the Word. The Word is where the truth is. The Word is where the power is. It is where spiritual food is. But you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You've received mercy from God. You've received mercy from God. You got something today, if you're a believer, that you didn't maybe thought that you ever had received. But as a believer, you have all received mercy. And I needed mercy in my life. I needed mercy. And nobody, you couldn't give me mercy, the kind of mercy that I needed. I can't give you the kind of mercy that you needed. The only one that can give that kind of mercy is God the Father. And He gives that mercy through Jesus Christ. Man, reading this scripture here tells me I need to work on some things. I need to start allowing God to be part of more of my life. I need to let God lead my life. I think I just need to let God be God. Quit thinking I know everything. Quit thinking I can fix all the world problems. Listen, the world will always have problems because it's a sinful world. That's just the truth of it. No politician's going to fix it. No politician's going to fix it. The Bible says the prince of the air is Satan himself. Yeah. And he moves back and forth on the earth seeking who he may devour. And you know who he's looking to devour more than anything? Leaders of the world. Kings and dictators. All those leaders of the world, because you can get them, you can get a whole nation. Just go back and read the book of Daniel. Go back and read the book of Jeremiah. You'll see that Satan's in the midst, and you may not even see him in the midst of it, but when you begin to understand God's word, you see him all over Scripture. Tempting men, tempting women, causing the downfall in this area, that area, downfall of men and women, God's people turning from God, going and serving these Baals and these Asher poles and all these other things, turning people's eyes from God to something else. Satan doesn't care what it is, as long as you don't do what the Bible says. The Bible says to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Satan will tell you to turn your eyes on anything and everything but Jesus. We have a conflicting thing here, don't we? One's for one, one's for the other. Listen, I am just like you. I'm one of God's people. And I need to stay in my lane. I need to stay in the lane of the Scriptures. I need to stay on the highway, because I remember that highway. It doesn't end for me. The highway never ends. Have you ever been on a highway? It never ends. And even when you die, it doesn't end. It just goes, it takes a veers off, it goes to heaven, veers off, and goes to hell. Yep. And my Bible says, because I have Jesus, I'm going to heaven. And if you have Jesus, the same Bible tells you that you're going to heaven. And Satan doesn't like that. So I need to remember, I was once not a people, but now I'm one of God's people. And I need to live it out. And I need to live it loud. And I need to live it bright. And I want to walk with Him. I'm going to do those sacrifices. I'm going to start pushing more things toward God. Start sacrificing those things for God. To see God work. Listen, some of you used to do a lot of amazing things for the Lord. What happened? Seriously, what happened? You got lazy? Come on, now we get lazy in the Lord, don't we? We get lazy? Or we got upset because somebody else moved in, took my spot? We got upset because of this or that? Listen, God is a big God. He always has things set for you. If you're just willing and able and just willing and wanting to be used by God, God will use you. God doesn't leave anybody sitting on the bench. If you want to play in the game of life for God, He'll pull you right off that bench and He'll start using you. But don't get upset if He puts you in a position that you don't like or this and that. He knows what to do. And God will give you the talents to do it. He'll give you the giftedness to complete it. And He'll show you things that you can never see on your own. He'll allow you to do things you can never do on your own. He'll give you the power that you can do something that you didn't have the power for. And He will actually do something in your life that you may not have had for a while. It's called a joy of the Lord. And you only can get the joy of the Lord when you understand who God is and you understand and you're living your life for Him. And you can't help it. When you're in His will, there is a joy. And even when sadness comes, there's still an inner part of you that still has a joy. It's knowing this, God still has it all together. And the Scripture says that no one can pluck me out of His hand. I am in safe hands of God. So what do we got to lose? I'll tell you what it is. Always the things that cause us and draws us back from doing what God wants us to do is our own selfish ambitions, our own angerness, and our own bitterness. And you know what? Those are the things that the Bible says you need to get rid of, because they become stumbling blocks when you want to serve God. Amen? They become stumbling blocks. If you have a problem with bitterness today, you can get rid of it, but you got to get rid of it only through Jesus Christ. If you want to get rid of envy, the only way you can do it is through Jesus Christ. The only way you can get rid of some things is it's only through Christ. All this is wrapping us closer to God, closer to Christ. That we might live the life that God has for us. Because you got one shot. You got one shot to live. And you don't even know how long you get to live it for. I'm getting close to 60, and I've had several years to do it. And I'll tell you one thing is, I can't get my 20s back. They're in the wind back there somewhere. I can't get my 30s back, and I can't get my 40s back, and I'm about done with my 50s. I think what it's saying is, Jimmy, your time for serving me is getting closer. You're not. I'm just saying. And so many guys, if you read the news, so many guys are screwing up at the very end of their ministry, screwing up and derailing off the tracks because they got caught up in something. And that something didn't have nothing to do with God. It all had to do with sin and temptation. Satan always loves to get, you know why he loves to get the older guys, the older women, you know why? Because they got a lot of wisdom. They should have wisdom and should have worldly knowledge. They should have knowledge. Biblical wisdom and biblical knowledge. They should have that. And Satan wants to derail that in their lives. Young people, he's doing something cool. He's doing other stuff. But I want to remind you today that God wants you to live for Him. And if you're not living for Him, I want to tell you this. If you're not living for Him, then you're living for yourself. And if you're living for yourself, I'm going to say it this way. You're a selfish person. I want what God has given me. I want the salvation. I want all what God gives to me, but I will not give Him anything back. I'll give Him the bare minimum. I'm good with Him. I've got my salvation. I know where I'm at with the Lord. And I want to tell you, you're going to be a person that is going to have a hard life because you don't get to dictate the plans of one of God's people. That's His business. Amen. Father, Lord, we do thank You for an opportunity this morning to share Your Word. Sometimes it can be hard and it can be good at the same time. The drawing of people toward You is always a good thing. Always a good thing. I pray, Father, You'll do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's